And now, live from the Imperial Rooms Mayfair, it's Bossman and Quantic Geekside!
Welcome to Bossman and Quantic Kingside. I'm Jane Bossman. Hello.
I'm David Quantic. Hello.
And now, 10 things you already know about men's magazines. The first men's magazine, The Lord Man Wonder Lady, was invented in 1940. In 1994, it changed its name to FHM.
From 1968 to 1985, Esquire magazine was edited by Led Zeppelin from their private jet, Hawcrusher.
Cosmopolitan is really a men's magazine. If you hold it up to the light, you can see the lady's nipples.
The most unsuccessful men's magazine ever was Women Think You're Ugly, Poor Om. Dave.
What?
Are you doing anything after the show?
No.
Oh, I was just thinking. You're going to be bored then, aren't you, you lonely tosser?
Miss?
Oh, no.
Rub my noodle. Sir, prod me sternum, only a guinea.
No.
I'm a dirty boy, tweet me. Give us an epidural, do what you like to me.
Get out! And now, part four of the Ike Turner and Melvin Bragg story. I'm Melvin.
To Alison from Melvin Bragg. Thanks for buying my new novel, The Dirty Tyneside Scrubber.
Thank you, Mr. Bragg. I love your new book.
Call me Melvin.
Oh, Melvin.
What the hell's going on here? I've been looking all over for you, wavy head. Who are these people? You giving it away for free?
No, Ike. I'm promoting my new novel.
You're promoting your cute round butt. Why don't you just blow the whole damn room? What a big Ike's honey not sweet enough for you?
No, Ike. It's just a book signing.
Yeah? Well, hold my big pan.
No, no, Ike, holster your tummy guns. I know how it must look to you, but I provoked him. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Quiet, kitty girl!
A footprint on this lonely desert island beach. The solitude of Robinson Crusoe is over. Oh, I pray that it will be a man of culture or perhaps a native companion. Blank canvas for me to append good Christian values to.
Hello, Carol. I'm on the desert island. Yeah, I can't see myself getting back. Not
Urban Myths of the Animal Kingdom, number 6. Urban Myths told by gerbils.
No! It's true! It happened to a gerbil I used to know!
Bollocks!
These days, I read in the paper, the future has happened, and we all live in the global village. This is a lot better than living in the Gatwick village, which is what they call the entertainment area at Gatwick Airport. And is a special kind of village full of video games and pretend pubs and shops that only sell The Rainmaker by John Grisham. The global village is a wonderful high-tech communication network world place. Presumably, the United Nations is the global village policeman, Keanu Reeves is the global village idiot, and of course, the global village people are enormous disco singers who crash about the world like 5 gay Godzillas bringing high energy to the people of Borneo and destroying their tree huts with one waft of fiery homosexual disco dragon breath. Possibly, possibly not. But the most exciting thing about living in the global village is we can do anything. We live in the future now. We can be speaking to an American just by picking up a telephone. Admittedly, we then spend the rest of the conversation going, no, I'm not from Australia. No, I don't know your sister's cousin Mac. And no, Liverpool is not in France. But there you go. You can be on the other side of the world in a day. Which is great when you consider it still takes 2 days to get to Brighton on the train. Which is odd, as Richard Branson doesn't own it yet. The train, that is, not Brighton. Dear God, if Richard Branson owned Brighton, we'd never hear the end of it. He'd probably fill the Brighton Pavilion with helium and try and fly Brighton around the world. But it would get shot down over Libya. And Tripoli would suddenly find itself full of Channel 4 researchers and people who used to know Pink Floyd slightly in 1968. But I digress. Less than 50 years ago, we all lived in houses made of Bakelite, and our British dinners all smelled of dead cabbage. Now, life is bright and shiny, and we all live together in harmony apart from the wars, and we can keep going despite the lack of an ozone layer or any trees in Brazil until, July this year. So we should just celebrate our life in the future. Oh, and if Nostradamus was right and the world does end soon, at least we won't get people coming up to us and going, actually, the millennium isn't until the year 2001.
We have knocked out the unwary traveler, robbed his purse, and now we must dispose of his unconscious form.
Arhar, this graveyard is just the place to let him rot under the sod.
Arhar!
Hello, Carol. I'm being buried alive now. Yeah, I'm running late.
Urban Myths of the Animal Kingdom, number 9. Urban Myths Told by Horses.
She tried to dry the poodle in the microwave!
No way!
Und neu über der Comedy A-Quiz. Der Mann hast hört himself, haha! Comedy in Deutschland. He has der Finger. Und die Eis roll backen. Der Fingermann.
Ach ja, wer ist mein Glasses? Habe ich gelettem auf der Train? Wow!
Out now on a lot of CDs. 100% ambient. 400 soothing minutes of the greatest ambient music ever made. Ambient moods to wash away the modern world and fax machines. 100% ambient. Conjuring up the ambient spirit of the Incas. The calming majesty of the deep sea porpoise. And the peace of an Andean lake if a whale lived in it. 100% ambient. Ooh. Featuring the music of the panpipes, the deep sea song of the dolphin, a whale playing the panpipes, Streets of London by Ralph McTell, another dolphin, a shark that looks like a dolphin, Breaking Glass by Hazel O'Connor, Whole Lotta Rosie by AC/DC,
Getcha
by Chess and Dave. 100% ambient, we're mellow.
Available now for a limited period for...
Asterisk.
Only $6.99.
Asterisk, not really.
Come with us into a magical kingdom of fables and legends.
A storybook land of heroes and villains, ogres and giants.
Available now on cassette, CD or pretend book. Free Bentos Communications presents Tales from Boney M.
Tales from Boney M. They're all here. Ma Baker.
Rasputin.
Daddy Cool.
Tales from Boney M. A treasury of loveliness you'll want to hold and later sell. All your friends, from the painter man
and brown girl in the ring
to Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ.
Tales from Boney M.
Oh, those Martians.
Dave.
What?
You okay?
Not really. Last night I met this girl in a bar, and she said if I went to her flat, not only would we be at it like knives all night and she'd cook me a nice meal after, but she'd give me £1,000 if we'd go back in time and spend it at a floating casino in the 60s. So I said, fine. And I went to the loo, and when I came back, my wallet was gone.
Oh, Dave, it's the oldest trick in the book.
What is?
Doctor, I think there's something wrong with Mr. Popplestone.
I'm not surprised, you stupid woman. I said try and keep him away from policemen's balls for a while. Not inject his scrotum with roofing foam and invite a team of pearly kings to kick his plums down the Old Kent Road.
Do in the labour for I.
There are some modern phrases that I can never understand. ITV drama premiere in association with Midland Bank. Midland, the Borgias of the miniseries. Army soldier, be the best. Best at being shouted at and beating up people in pubs for not having a stupid moustache. And thank God it's Friday. Confusing the end of the working week with VE Day or finding a sack of cocaine and diamonds that nobody wants. Fridays are awful because they mean one thing. It's the weekend. And whereas during the week you just turn up at work, plan 7 ways to murder your colleague and settle for farting in their chair when they're at lunch, at the weekend you have to do whatever it is that makes you an individual. In my case, that's drinking. Every weekend I go out and teach my liver a lesson it won't remember. Saturdays I like to spend watering my plants to kid myself that having some geraniums that aren't dead constitutes a home life. And at 10 p.m. I go to a nightclub. Nightclubs. Every Saturday night I go to a cloakroom and give all my possessions to a 7-foot angry transvestite to look after. That's really who I choose. Because in the land of the nightclub, the 7-foot angry man dressed as Princess Michael of Kent is king. On Saturday nights, I tend to go out and spend more than I can afford to get pointlessly drunk. So on Sunday mornings, I have to ask myself a few questions, like, where am I? Who are these people and why are they laughing at me? If these aren't my clothes, then whose are they and why are mine in the sink? Good ways to begin a Sunday. Waking up in bed with Radio 4 playing. Bad ways to begin a Sunday. Waking up in a flower bed, covered in mud and fluorescent body paint. Sunday is a search for clues. Who do I apologise to first? All you've got to do is look through your pockets. Pockets full of phone numbers with too few digits. Receipts from restaurants that don't exist. Credit card slip for £400. A piece of garlic bread and an ear. Luckily, by Sunday night, there's always a mini-series where I can relax, in which a man falls in love with a woman because she comes down a big staircase. And then he's killed. ITV drama premieres in association with Midland Bank. The only good thing about weekends.
Und neu on television Deutschland Comedy. Über der Quiz ist Berliner Nein Danke. Comedy neue Deutschland. Der Fingermann. This week, der Fingermann gibt's von London.
Und hier ist der Haus des von Parlament. Und über der ist der Buckingham Palace. Wow!
Hehe.
And now, part 6 of our regular look at people who never worked again.
They never worked again. This weekend they never worked again. Princess Margaret Chauffeur, Alan Greenlee. They never worked again.
Evening, Your Majesty. Nice night, innit? Been anywhere good? Fatter than your sister, ain't ya? Hello, is this seat taken?
No. My name's Emma.
Steve. Drink?
Thanks. A spritzer.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Not at all.
Do you like penises?
Urban Myths of the Animal Kingdom, number 7. Urban Myths Told by Sperm Whales.
So they strapped her onto the roof, but when they got home, the body was gone. Cobblers.
Like most people who have been forced to use boiled eggs as currency in their lives, I am obsessed with the idea of success. Success is weird because we attach so much importance to it. Unless we're a Buddhist monk living in a hammock made of couscous in Nepal, in which case we're still probably thinking, hey, I didn't come back as a fly living on dead buffalo's cack in the East End. Result. Success is a thing that we measure in financial terms. We call a man a failure if he goes round pushing a trolley full of broken pieces of sink unit and shouting, neighbor, rag burner, rag burner, even though he has invented his own language. And children's literature tells us that rag and bone men are romantic figures like Dick Turpins with scrofula. And we call a man a success if he owns a chain of supermarkets, even though we sneer at his nasty gold jewellery and his big shiny car and his big shiny wife, and the way he eats his soup with a fork and says toilet instead of napkin. And then we say, money can't buy you happiness. Fine, so what can buy you happiness? Little shells? Cats' earwax? But success isn't really about money. Success is a feeling of achievement. Unless you're a beatnik, smackhead jazz poet, in which case, success is the feeling you get when you've typed out 15,000 words of complete bobbins onto your mum's kitchen roll and read it out to a room full of Audrey Hepburn lookalikes who are all dressed as IRA men at the funeral and smoke French fags so as to smell like cars. No, for me, success is when a prehistoric fish with tendrils and flippers and a face like Dale Winton chewing the Sunday Express suddenly decides that being a fish in the sea is dull and that the land is a place for a fish to be, and after several weeks of ramming its dorsal fin up a beach's face, finally makes it onto the land. Success is when the young William Shakespeare, after years of writing plays about giant robot space prostitutes who are all living in a nice West London flat studying law, suddenly hits on the idea of dissecting the human condition and writes 45 plays about some men called Henry and a man named after a cigar. Oh, and failure, by the way, is letting your daughter go out with someone called Romeo. That's bound to end in tears.
And now, in a change to our published programme, Hooray, a Famous Person Has Died, it's Puritan Vet. Last week, the Puritan Vet got a bicycle pump and pumped up a goldfish until it exploded for being shiny and proud. Puritan Vet.
Filthy, flies, sluts, trying to arouse me. I know your whore's tricks. Giving me the compound eye. Go to fly hell.
Excuse me, Vet.
What in the name of decency is that now? Is it a two-headed cow?
No, it is little Bobby Black. He's outside with his jarbill.
Oh, is he? Send him in. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, veterinary. It's my jarbill. Seth?
Ah, Seth is it. Pushing heroin, is he? Selling his babies to buy makeup.
Oh, has Taser got long? Mum says they have to be felled.
Ah, this gerbil is a vampire. Stand back, Bobby. We must drive a large stick through its heart.
No!
Die, vampire gerbil!
No!
Bobby, did the vampire gerbil ever bite you?
Dave.
What?
Don't you think you've put on weight?
No.
What colour shoes are you wearing then?
I'm not telling you.
In half an hour on Télévision Suisse Switzerland. Our weekly quiz, going for Nazi gold. But first, a new episode of The Boring Kite.
Well, Eric, I have spent my life savings on train tickets to Paris. And here we are, in Paris.
Papa, I am so sad. Do you think we will ever find the boring kite?
I do not know, Eric. Perhaps you would like a stick of barley sugar instead.
Oh, Papa. Look, Papa! Papa! Look, look, Papa!
What is it, Eric? Do you see the boring kite?
There it is! Up that tree! Papa! It's the boring kite.
Don't be stupid, boy. It's a carrier bag.
Oh, perhaps the boring kite is in New York.
Oh, dear. Who wants to buy my eyes?
Home is where the heart is, but for those of us that don't live in an aorta, it's a place where you can find the toilet in the dark. In America, a home is a ranch full of kids with blonde haircuts like upside-down bowls of special Aryan toffee, with giant fridges that make ice cubes and smoke fags. In Britain, there's the Ideal Home, which apparently is an Earls Court exhibition centre, with an angry couple walking around it going, "Don't be ridiculous, we'd never get it up the stairs." Living at home means that if you meet someone, you can either go back to theirs and take a chance on them not being a serial killer, and when they say, "There'll be loads of other people there," you know they mean in kit form. Or you say, "No, come back to my place," even though your place is your parents' place, and you're in a cab going, "Yes, I'm great, haha, I can think of loads of things to say about the inside of taxis that no one could possibly have thought to say before." But you're thinking, "I hope Mum's gone to bed, and I wish I could remember your name." And you get home and the house is dark and you think, "Yes!" Suddenly there's my mum with her special mum alarm, casually making a lasagna at 4 a.m. "Hello, Jane, who's this?" "Hi, it's Chris, Steve, Pete." Then you get your first home. Your first home is something a bank lets you have, providing you a blonde couple with sweaters tied around your shoulders, and the home is a cartoon cottage with 2,000 swallows flying around the roof. And on the doormat, instead of welcome, it says mortgages can go up as well as down, so don't bother unpacking. Once you've got your first home and you've got rent-a-kill round to get rid of the swallows, you go through a reverse honeymoon period where you learn that cups and dishes don't wash themselves. But you think, "Yes, they will if I hide." I spent 6 months living in a daycare centre for germs, but I came in one morning and the cups and dishes said, "All right, you've seen through our defences. We admit it. We can wash ourselves." That's not true. Homes illustrate the difference between men and women. Apart from the fact that men can be aroused by a line drawing, George and Lynn, because men think if they haven't actually pooed in the middle of the living room carpet, it's fit to receive guests. Women's homes may have whole rooms consecrated to the worship of the cuddly elephant god. They may think that forest is a fragrance, not a football team. But to women, a home is a place to live. To men, it's a bodily functions facilitator. And when a woman asks you home, you go to a home. You're not passing through some disused station full of fag packs and cans on the shag line.
Hello. Are you Jane?
Yeah, you must be Steve.
Yes, I am. Drink?
Thanks.
Well, here's to,
Yeah, here's to...
I know we've only just met, but, can I ask you something?
Please.
Can I take my clothes off and lie on top of you naked?
And now, instead of whatever it was you set the video for, it's time for Puritan Vet. Last week in Puritan Vet, the vet burnt a guinea pig at the stake for having a look at the Pope about it. Puritan Vet.
What in the name of purity is this, Mrs. Thumble?
It's me, Timothy. He's a Brazilian macaw. I think he might be broody.
Broody? How can a male bird be broody?
Timothy might be a Timothina.
Oh, my God. What sexual perversion is this? Sodom and Gomorrah and Hades rolled into one foul mouth, spitting queer bird of a pestilential bird queer.
No, he's just broody.
He's just broody. He's just broody.
It speaks. It speaks. It is a mouthpiece for Satan.
Well, that's it from Busman and Quantic King Size.
Gee, Jimmy, I sure love ya.
Gee, Sally, gee, but you're a good kid. Let's get married.
I can't, Jimmy. I gotta think of Pee-wee. Pee-wee just don't know how to say goodbye.
Say goodbye? Say goodbye to what?
Say goodbye to the living years. Live from the sumptuous Imperial Rooms Mayfair, that was Busman and Quantic King Size. Written by and starring Jane Busman and David Quantic, with Mr. Peter Serafinowicz, Mrs. Emma Clark, and Master Steve Brody. Additional material by Wee Daniel Mayer and Sue Steve Brodio. The producer are Phil Babka.
Miss, damage me irreversibly.
Get out.